Let's head back to the chapel of the Empress Galla Placidia in Ravenna, built in the 5th century, and remembered today as a mausoleum, even though she was never buried there. Though this is now changing, the Empress doesn't always figure in histories told about this period, except sometimes regarding when she held power as regent for her son, with the focus often revolving instead around the men, blood, and battles. But if we reframe our view around this woman and this space, we see a very different, quote, beginning to the European Middle Ages, one in which Rome doesn't fall. The small enclosed space of the mausoleum embodies the continuation of Roman sacred, artistic, political, and technical culture as the empire transitioned into a new, and indeed different, Christian age. The mausoleum's dedicatee moved across the Mediterranean world, was born in Constantinople, then moved to Italy as a young girl, and from there to France and Spain, back to Italy, to Constantinople, and finally again to Italy. In the city of Ravenna, she took command of the whole of the Western Roman Empire in 423 CE, ruling in the name of her young son. In doing so, she was as much a ruler of Rome as any person from the past 5 centuries, man or woman. Women had, of course, always played in the Roman games of factions, power, and thrones. When she died in 450, she did so in an empire in peril and in transition, but a peril not necessarily different in kind or degree from what had befallen the empire before. In Rome, there had always been factional strife. There had always been external threats. There had always been a permeable world that spanned thousands of miles, one that engendered beauty, that revealed tenderness, and that at the same time demonstrated an almost limitless capacity for violence. Why do the stars of Galla Placidia's mausoleum shine so brightly in this quiet, gentle space in Ravenna? The answer reflects the genius of 5th-century artists. A field of golden, tightly packed stars graces the highest part of the ceiling, the vault. But below, a second field of flower-like stars float in another celestial array of lapis blue glass. For the viewer, the brilliantly red, gold, and white patterns play on the eye like a kaleidoscope. Bands of darker colors trick the eye into seeing movement in the static glass. Walls of brilliant alabaster intensify the light, whether from the sun or flickering candles, making the gold itself seem like the source of the radiating light. The floor is artificially raised, drawing the viewer closer to the ceiling, intensifying the magical effect. Ancient sacred spaces across the Mediterranean world, both polytheistic and Jewish, had long relied on the manipulation of light and depictions of the sky to bring earth and heaven together in the gaze and mind of the viewer. This continued into Galla's Christian centuries. For the devout, this juxtaposition could become conjunction, bringing heaven and earth together, making the two feel both real and immediate to the viewer. But what of Rome and the empire? Since at least the 14th century, but arguably since Galla Placidia's lifetime itself, the political, social, and religious turmoil of the 400s has enabled arguments about the fall of Rome. It's true that in 410, a large group of soldiers under the command of the Gothic general and tribal chief Alaric, many of whom traced their lineage to Germanic peoples who had recently crossed into Roman territory, sacked Rome. It's also true that in 476, the military leader Odoacer would depose Romulus Augustulus, the Western Roman emperor at the time, and not bother to take the title for himself. It would seem that the empire in the West ended then.